It's time now for PMC Live. KFSK News and the Petersburg Medical Center hold a monthly radio show focusing on different departments and new programs at the medical center. I'm your host, Angela Denning, and I'm joined over Zoom teleconference by some guests from PMC. Looks like we have several people here today. We have CEO Phil Hofstetter, along with Dr. Jennifer Briner, or Jennifer Heyer, sorry, nurse manager Jennifer Briner, and it looks like infection prevention manager Liz Bacom is here as well. Hello to you all.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to talk about the flu season. That may sound a bit strange, but I do have several questions about the flu season. Before we jump into what that means for us here in Petersburg, we did just report in our new newscast about a COVID case that was identified today at PMC. And I'm sure that everything's kind of in flux right now because it is a new thing. Is there anything that you can tell the public?
Yeah. So obviously we as a part of our asymptomatic screening protocol at the hospital, we picked up a positive case and the person is isolating, asymptomatic, and they're safe. So, I mean, it's designed to do exactly that. So we're taking precautions. We put it in red status. And as soon as we have more information, we will let everyone know.
Okay. I guess the silver lining there is that because PMC tests so regularly, how often are staff getting tested there? Every week?
Jen, I'll let you answer that one. Yeah.
Our staff are routinely tested every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. Okay. So I guess the silver lining is that through that regular testing, you are able to, you know, identify cases.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And then we also reported that contact tracing is happening. So, you know, people who might have been in contact with that individual who might be at risk would be contacted by an official.
Correct.
And I just want to add, this is Liz Bacom, that we have a really low threshold for symptoms, and that any employee who has any of the symptoms of COVID, even if they're a mild presentation, are deferred from work until those symptoms are resolved. So that's just one really strong mitigation step that we have in the facility for that.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know too. Okay. I guess, you know, I mean, it's almost along the same lines, the flu season, in terms of, like, it's a little bit different this year. It's an annual event that happens. But I guess who would like to just start out by saying, you know, when we say the flu season, what do we mean by that?
Well, the state of Alaska and the CDC define the flu season generally as the beginning of October until the end of May. However, we see flu year round because we have people who travel from the lower, below the equator. They come up north, and we sometimes see cases earlier. We've seen them in the summer. We've seen them in the early part of September. So we're always having to look out for influenza in Alaska for those reasons. And influenza has already been reported in the state. So we are trying to be very proactive in keeping it at bay.
Okay. And we say influenza, but it's different every year, right? I mean, it's a virus that is always changing. So it's a flu season, which is the same, but then the actual virus changes every year?
That's correct. There are many different flu viruses, and they're constantly changing. And the composition of the U.S. flu vaccine, it's reviewed annually and updated as needing to match what is circulating. And the flu vaccine will protect against the 3 or 4 viruses that research shows for that year will be the most common.
Okay. So what do we know about this year's flu season? And have they identified what you're talking about, the top possible virus strains?
Dr. Heyer or Liz or Jennifer, do you?
Yeah. They have, and there's actually quite a few different vaccines. There's some quadrivalent vaccinations that cover 4 of the more common, and then there's the trivalent vaccines as well. And those differ as well in the amount that is in those vaccines And some of those vaccines are specifically for those over age 65 or who have chronic health issues. So they depend on the different makers of the vaccine, which ones that they're covering.
Okay. So why is it important? I mean, every year we hear, you know, doctors and nurses say that it's important for a community to get the flu shot. But, you know, just to play the devil's advocate here, there are some people out there who say they don't believe in vaccines. And they say, you know, it's natural for viruses to run their course in a population. So, you know, what do you say to that?
I'll take this one. So the data is very clear that flu vaccines have been shown to reduce the risk of flu illness, hospitalization, and death from influenza. But getting a flu vaccine this fall is going to be more important than ever, not only to reduce your risk from the flu, but also to help conserve potentially scarce healthcare resources. And so by getting the vaccine, we're reducing the respiratory illness in our community and decreasing the burden on the healthcare system during the current pandemic. It's a way that we can all protect the vulnerable population of Petersburg that are at risk in our community.
Okay, it almost sounds like the respiratory illness of the community, it's almost like I'm thinking of it as like a whole being, like there's individual people and their individual viruses, but then the community is like a whole thing that you're trying to keep healthy too, as a one piece.
So that's absolutely right.
So some people, you know, may say they get sick anyway, like let's say they get the flu vaccine, you know, and some people say, well, you know, I got the flu shot, but I got sick anyway in the winter. What does that tell you?
General Liz.
This is Jennifer. I can take it. So there's a few things about people saying they get sick after a flu shot. One is that sometimes people experience some symptoms of an inflammatory response after they get the flu shot. And that's actually your body recognizing that flu and building antibodies to be able to fight it. So it's actually a good thing if you feel maybe a little achy or tired, you know, oftentimes you'll have a sore arm, but that's actually your body mounting that response so that when it sees the actual flu later on, it can fight it. The flu shot does not have any live influenza in it. So you cannot get the flu from the flu shot. It's impossible to do. So that's one area where people feel like they might get sick after the flu shot. Other times people get sick that have maybe similar symptoms. They maybe have a cold or RSV, which is a different type of respiratory virus, but they can get other respiratory illnesses, but the flu shot protects just against the flu. And you can be exposed to the flu and get the flu later on, but you will be less sick and the flu will be easier to handle and easier for your body to treat if you've had the flu shot. So people, it will maybe prevent those pneumonias and ER stays and hospitalizations and dying from the flu.
In terms of, you know, PMC responding to the flu every year, you know, how many people are getting the flu here in town, like ballpark? I mean, are you seeing dozens and dozens of people every year?
It kind of depends on the flu year. We've seen as many as over 100 cases documented in the community in one flu season. And it depends on how it circulates and community behavior and just the type of flu that's circulating. There's two types of flu. There's a flu A and a flu B. And typically the flu A is going to be seen earlier in that flu season and flu B will come on later. And we've had some poor, unfortunate folks that have been infected with both of those strains and got the flu shot. So I just want to say there's no 100% guarantee with a flu shot protecting you from the flu. There's a good, very good chance that you won't get as sick. And it's kind of like wearing seatbelts or a seatbelt in a car. You know, the seatbelt's going to protect you. And as much as you can do all the things to be careful when you're driving, you still have to do all the things to be careful from getting sick, which is the same things we're telling people now about COVID. You want to maintain a good social distance and wash your hands a lot and wear a mask when you're in public, because the infectivity of influenza and COVID is similar. It's usually a day or two before symptoms are presented. And so people don't even know they're sick and they can spread the virus. And of course, good surface cleaning of high touch areas.
Okay. When people are using PMC for care for the flu, you know, what are they coming into the clinic for? Because there's several different kinds of symptoms, and some people I think might, you know, healthy individuals might know they have a virus and they might choose to stay at home because they are able to care for themselves adequately. But then there are some people who need extra help. So what are they looking for when they're coming into the clinic?
As far as kind of the most common symptoms, which actually overlap with many of the COVID symptoms, are the fever, cough, shortness of breath, fatigue, sore throat, body aches, and people who have other underlying chronic illnesses tend to get sicker from the flu and from COVID, and they come in dehydrated, needing oxygen, just needing supportive care.
Okay. Yeah, that what you were listing, you know, that is on the list for COVID too. So how are you approaching that? I mean, it's October 1st today. How are you approaching that as a, you know, medical care facility? You know, the patients are out there and some of them are going to maybe have some COVID and some of them are going to have flu.
Yeah, from a systematic standpoint, Jennifer, I mean, our whole incident command team, but Jennifer Briner has helped set up the COVID hotline, which that number that we put out there, and most of the responses are with a nurse, experienced nurse, to be able to triage symptoms. And then we set up our respiratory clinic, which is, if you're symptomatic, it's basically being triaged outside. And we're going to continue on in a winter time with that. We're going to probably take the tent down, but at some point before the snow flies, and then move that into where the independent physicians were, or the independent provider area that's a now outpatient clinic area. But that's kind of been a location for the respiratory clinic, and that's where we're going to move that process long term. So symptomatic patients are going to be seen in that area.
Okay. I think Liz Baca may have touched on this during our COVID show last week, but in terms of, you know, diagnosing the flu or COVID, can that happen simultaneously? You know, somebody has these symptoms, maybe they call the hotline, they have these symptoms, they need to be tested to figure out what it is. How does that work? Can they get just one test to figure out if it's one or the other?
Generally speaking, we can probably just use one swab. One of the challenges with influenza is the nasal swab may not be as sensitive to picking up viral load in influenza cases. So we may need to do more nasal pharyngeal swabs, which go back a little bit further in the nasal canal. And the specimens can be tested here at Petersburg Medical Center for flu and COVID. But we also have limited resources. We're seeing that nationwide with testing devices. We have the equipment to put through more tests, but we don't have the assurance that we'll be able to get adequate supplies if we get a large outbreak. So it's really important that the providers will make those decisions of whether testing is done in-house or whether it goes out to a reference lab. But we're still seeing pretty good turnaround time. And one specimen would be used for all of the culprits.
Okay. What do we know now about flu shots and the distribution of flu shots here in town? It seems like usually every year there's at some point a free flu shot clinic, which has happened in the past in the gymnasium, where people could, you know, it's not generally like the first day of flu season, but at some point people can get free flu shots if they want. What's going to happen this year?
Well, you know, for several years, I've been hoping for an opportunity to have a drive-through shot clinic, and it just never seemed to work out. And just this year, the circumstances work that we're going to be able to do that. And it's really being spearheaded by public health and Erin Michael, who's not able to make this call right now, but she is coordinating the acquisition of vaccines for a drive-through clinic, and we're hoping for a good, healthy percentage of the community to participate in that drive-through shot clinic. And it's called a pod. It's a point of dispension. And the purpose of a pod exercise is to test our ability to either provide medication or antibiotics or vaccine to a large percentage of the population in a very short period of time. And we can thank Irene Littleton's retirement party parade that she had in May, because we're kind of using that same route, and we're going to direct cars through the parking lot at the school and the stations in front of the high school. There'll be four or five stations for people to receive a vaccine. And that day will be on October 17th. It's a Saturday. We don't have the time ironed out yet. People can register in advance so that the paperwork is all done in advance, and there is no charge for the flu shot.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So registering in advance, people, is that through the PMC website that they can fill out their paperwork?
Right. And the paperwork I don't think is quite ready to load up yet, but it's documentation that is used to record the patient and also the vaccine information, the lot number and who administered it, so that there's tracking through the Alaska VacTrack. That's a kind of a thing that we have to do. And for people who may not have access to a vehicle or a ride, we want to hear from those folks and try to help them get participate in the pod exercise and the flu shot clinic. So there'll be a checkbox on that form so that we can try to match up people to get a ride.
Oh, excellent. That's really good to mention, that if you don't have an easy ride yourself to the flu shot clinic, you guys are going to try to help coordinate if for people who may not have a way.
Yeah. And you can carpool if you're not in the same bubble, for example, and you want to take your neighbor. I talked to Aaron about that. And the safe way to transport somebody, you know, two people in a car, is the driver, and then the rider is in the back seat on the right side of the vehicle. So there's as much distance as possible. Everybody wears a mask and the windows are cracked open, so there's good air circulation. And of course, if you have symptoms, you shouldn't leave. You shouldn't participate in the pod, but if you don't have symptoms and you need a ride, that's a safe way of doing it.
And what ages are we talking about for the free flu shot clinic drive-through? All ages?
It'll be from infant 6 months and older. We believe that we will be able to have high dose for people over the age of 65. So unless we hear differently in the next week or so, our plan will be to immunize anybody from 6 months through the end of adulthood.
Okay, that sounds good. Anything else, any other details you can share with us about the flu shots this year?
Looking at it nationally, I don't think they're not thinking we will have a shortage at all. For this flu season, they're projecting they're going to have as many as 198 million doses, which is a record, more than the record of 175 million last year. So nationally, there is an adequate supply.
Okay, so hopefully here in Petersburg, then, anybody who wants a free flu shot will be able to get one.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And last year, I believe we the community received about 1,100 flu shots. So we're hoping to up that by 50%. We'll see if we can do it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's really great information. Anything else that we can talk about in terms of, you know, preparing for COVID? Somebody mentioned to me, in terms of like the flu season and thinking about COVID, it seems like locally there's a natural instinct to kind of hunker down because of weather in the fall and winter. You know, people are indoors more, they're doing more indoor activities, fishermen are back from their seasons. You know, so it would make sense, just looking at it that way, that there would be a higher risk for, you know, for sickness, I guess, just because of they're not outdoors, as people aren't as outdoors as, you know, often as they would be in the summertime or spring.
I mean, I think that I mean, that's true in a sense, because outside is safer than inside. It all depends on how many people you're around and how long and how close they are. And if you are wearing a mask and you're, you know, wiping your surfaces down and you're washing your hands. So if people hunker down with their family and are very careful when they are in public places, then, you know, we would hope that we could contain the spread of all respiratory viruses, including flu and COVID. But if people are going to be, you know, at home and have a lot of people that don't live in their household or aren't in their small bubble over, then you're right, then that increases the likelihood of spreading. And that's why it's so important, whether we're talking about flu or COVID or the common cold or any other respiratory virus, you know, that we do those same basic things that we've been talking about for the last 6 or 7 months. You know, stay home when you're sick, you know, cover your cough, wear a mask when you're within 6 feet of others, you know, frequent washing your hands and your environment. And really just those basic things that we teach our kids when they go to school, you know, that is what is going to help us get through this flu and cold season and to try to minimize the impact of the COVID pandemic.
Okay, well, we just have a few minutes left. Is there anything that anybody else wanted to add? Do you have anything to add, Phil?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is, you know, I'm a huge advocate for being outside and being well and being healthy and doing healthy activities. So, you know, that's, you know, whether it's COVID time, whether it's flu season or whether it's none of those, that's always a good idea. Staying healthy, maintaining your health, you know, all the things that are related to that are going to be really important in whether you have flu or whether you have COVID or whether if any other illness and getting over that.
Okay. Liz, did you have anything else? Was that your phone? Yeah. Okay. What about the Jennifers? Jennifer Briner, do you have anything to add?
No, I'm just thank you for letting us have this time, and yeah, stay healthy and safe and kind to each other.
And Jennifer Heyer?
Yeah, I echo that as well. Definitely encourage everyone to come in or get your flu vaccine where you're going to get your flu vaccine. And as long as the virus is circulating, continue getting that vaccine through into the new year and tell your friends and family the importance of it as well and keeping our community healthy.
Okay, thanks so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. PMC Live is aired the first Thursday of every month after the Midday Magazine. I want to thank the guests today, Phil Hofstetter, Liz Begum, Jennifer Briner, and Dr. Jennifer Heyer. Thank you so much. And you are listening to KFSK Community Radio.